Listener advisory. The following half-hour program deals with adult themes and uses language that some may find objectionable. Language like the N-word, the Brentwood hello, and Nicole Brown treating Ron Goldman to a little blah blah blah. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, well, everybody's heard about the bird. The bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner, winner, bird, bird, bird.
This is Kenneth Doust. Welcome to installment number 99 of New World Notes. Hey, baby, baby, better come back later next week, because you see, I'm on a losing streak. Now that I've dated myself, let me explain. In a recent show, I got two separate facts quite wrong. If I had a fact checker, I'd fire him. Fortunately for the economy, I don't have a fact checker. One American job saved. I said that the three songs in our Christmas show were performed by three Jews and a homosexual Gentile. One listener corrected me. Stan Freberg is not and has never been Jewish. In any case, my general point stands. The most astute social criticism comes from people on the margins. But the three songs in my Christmas show were performed by two Jews, one out homosexual Gentile, and one Swedish Baptist. Can't get more ecumenical than that. Pope John the 23rd would have been pleased. Going back, in that same error-ridden installment, I quoted the song lyrics, I learned the truth from Lenny Bruce, and all my wealth won't buy me health, and so I smoke a pint of tea a day. I attributed those lines to Bob Dylan's song Subterranean Homesick Blues, but said, correct me if I'm wrong. Nobody corrected me, but I was wrong anyway. They're from Simon and Garfunkel's A Simple Desultory Philippic. What is it? The Swedish Baptists, all 419 of them, are constantly monitoring the airwaves, looking for the slightest offense. Left-wing radicals from the 1960s, those whom the police haven't killed yet, I guess their brains are so addled from all that smoke inhalation, and now Alzheimer's, that their lie detectors have shut down. Dylan's great song, Mersey Doubts? Yeah, I remember that. Oh, well, everybody's heard about the bird. My favorite Dylan song, man. Yeah, that was on his greatest album, Meet the Beatles. I got a copy around here somewhere, man. Yeah, schmuck.
Oh, well, everybody's heard about the bird.
That yeah, schmuck is a clue. This show is all about Lenny Bruce. It's also about obscenity, American style. Dirty words, oral sex, and the fatal stabbing of two women. One in Brentwood and one in the Bates Motel. All of the above, and Lenny Bruce too, are intricately connected. Lenny was born Leonard Alfred Schneider in 1925. He died in 1966. We'll hear some of his routines from the early 1960s. Paul Simon was being ironic. We didn't learn the truth from Lenny Bruce. Lenny Bruce was funny because he spoke what we knew to be true, but nobody else would say. A stand-up nightclub comic, he was always being busted for obscenity, for using words that the previous 18 comics had used in the same club. But Lenny criticized the Pope. He criticized President Johnson and his Vietnam War. He criticized the police, the American Legion, lesbian Girl Scout leaders, and other hallowed American institutions. So they arrested him for saying the word shit. Here's a sketch by Lenny on the very subject, being busted for obscenity. The sketch is called Blah Blah Blah. He can't say the word, and I can't either, except to note, with great subtlety, that it rhymes with sock plucker. Years later, George Carlin got busted for saying the same word on the air. Or at least WBAI got hit with a very heavy fine and an attempt to revoke its broadcast license. In the FCC complaint and the court documents, they refer to it as the CS word. Carlin was found to have said on air the C word and the P word and the T word and the S word and the CS word and, I'm quoting, I don't normally talk like this. I've never heard such baby talk. And I never heard it again, until the murder trial of Orenthal J. Simpson. Then they did it again. The N-word! Detective Mark Furman once used the N-word. Okay, you can fire all those expensive lawyers, Simpson. You just won acquittal. A member of the Los Angeles Police Department used the N-word. Imagine. Obviously, somebody other than Simpson must have stabbed to death Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman. Thank God Los Angeles has such strict anti-gun laws, otherwise somebody could have gotten hurt. Now, this is in Jeffrey Toobin's well-researched 1996 book on the Simpson trial, The Run of His Life. You know what set Simpson off? You know why he freaked out and allegedly stabbed those two to death at that particular moment? He just happened to be in Brentwood, on foot, and just happened to glance in a window of Nicole's house, and happened to see the former Mrs. Simpson kneeling before Mr. Goldman, blah, blah, blah-ing. At that point, whoever hacked Nicole and Ron to death lost it. Blah, blah, blah-ing. A white woman blah, blah, blah-ing a Jew. This is carrying race mixing way too far, Simpson, or whoever the perp was, thought. Indeed, in her diary, Nicole mentioned treating Ron on earlier occasions to what she referred to as a Brentwood hello. There's a great term, the Brentwood hello. Sounds much better than blah, blah, blah. Apparently, the act was fairly popular in the better neighborhoods of Los Angeles County. Unfortunately, the term never caught on, probably because of dialogue like this. Hey, Madge, how about a little blah, blah, blah? What? Where do you think we are, Brentwood? Now, you gotta make it seem like it's okay to do it in East Liberty, PA, and East Hartford, Connecticut, and I suppose it's been known to happen even in East Suffolk, Long Island. Anyway, in the other sense of the term, enough blah, blah, blahing from me. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Lenny Bruce.
The bust. What I got arrested for in San Francisco. San Francisco, I got arrested for, we can hear that, Daddy. I'm not going to repeat the word because I want to finish the gig here tonight. It's, they said it was is vernacular for a favorite homosexual practice, a 10-letter word. It's really chic. That's two four-letter words and a preposition. I can't, I wish I could tell you the word. It starts with a C. Well, you know what the word is. Now, it's weird how they manifested that word as homosexual. Because I don't. That relates to any contemporary chick I know, or would love, or would marry, you know. And, now, when I took the bus, I finished the show, and I said that word, you know, the 10-letter word, and he comes over and says, Lenny, my name is Sergeant Bum Bum. You know the word you said? I said a lot of words that day. Well, that word. Oh, yeah. Well, Lenny, that's against the law, and I'm going to take you down. Okay, that's cool. Oh, gotcha. It's against the law to say it and to do it. Well, I didn't do it, man. I know, but I just had to tell you that all the time. Okay. All right. Now, get in the way again. And the one, he's cool, because he said you broke the law and specifically this thing. Now, the other guy, look, I got a wife and kid. I don't want to hear that crap at all, man. I don't want to get involved emotionally with this. What do you mean I want to hear that crap? Do I ever do that to you? Bam. Then it got very sticky. No. You ever say the word no? Never said honest to God, never said the word never. How long are you married? 18 years. You ever chip any wife? Never. Never one time in 18 years you chip it down your leg, never one time. Then I love you. Because you're a spiritual guy, but if you're lying, it's in some dead time in purgatory. Now, we really got really into it. Now, getting to court, take the same bus, the judge, Aaron Abramitz, a red-headed junkyard Jew, a real fabis in there, with thick fingers and a homemade glass eye. Tough folk, right? He comes in, blah, blah, swear the heat in, what he say? Your Honor, he said blah, blah, blah. The judge, he said blah, blah, blah. Then the guy really yanked it up. That's right. I didn't believe it. There was a guy up on the stage in front of women and a mixed audience saying, blah, blah, blah. The judge. This I never heard. Blah, blah, blah. He said, blah, blah, blah. He said, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to lie to you. It's in the minutes. I'm not going to lie to you. All right. The DA. The guy said, blah, blah, blah. Look at him. He's smug. He's not going to repent. Then they dug something. They sort of like saying, blah, blah, blah. Because they said it a few extra times. Oh, look, do me a favor, too. This is very self-indulgent. But never applaud, because it really breaks my pace, and I hate it, because I don't know what to do. I can't smile like when I'm the door. They don't want you to do something funny, and that's not. So don't do it anymore. Now, we got so involved. I see, blah, blah, blah. The bailiff is yelling. What do you say? Shut up, you blah, blah, blah. They're yelling in another court. What do you say? Blah, blah, blah. God damn, it's good to say blah, blah, blah. That blah, blah, blah. That blah, blah, blah. That blah, blah, blah. That blah, blah, blah.
Like other great social satirists, Lenny Bruce focuses a lot on language. We heard some of this in Blah Blah Blah, where, quite reasonably, he asks how that got to be a pejorative synonym for male homosexual. What red-blooded straight American male wouldn't want his wife to be an accomplished, willing blah blah blah? But if you see a white Ford Bronco in the neighborhood, draw the curtains first. That last remark was by me, not Lenny. Here are two more sketches by Lenny, focusing on language. The first is about phonology, how we judge people not just by their ideas, but by their accents and other habits of their community. Then a sketch about small-town America, where the solid, unimaginative citizens don't apply the term homosexual or lesbian to obvious cases of both. Obvious to a hip guy like Lenny, in any case. And so, where the citizens fail even to perceive that their son Ronnie is, let's say, just not the marrying kind. Let me start with a couple footnotes to the first sketch on phonology. There's a reference to Belli and Ruby. That's Melvin Belli, the prominent American lawyer, 1907 to 1996. Among his many famous clients was Jack Ruby, who shot and killed accused presidential assassin Lee Harvey Oswald on November 24, 1963. Then there's a reference to Einstein. Him you've all heard of, but keep in mind, in the 1960s, Einstein's theories of relativity were believed to have made possible the atomic bomb. Less well known is that Einstein was a strong and highly visible anti-nuclear activist, and a strong and again highly visible civil rights activist. If his theories of physics did advance the development of nuclear weapons, he rued it to his dying day in April 1955. After World War II, Einstein wrote, "I do not know how the Third World War will be fought, but I can tell you what weapons they will use in the Fourth. Rocks." Not just a great physicist, but a great man. Here's Lenny Bruce.
The whole South, the South is a different country, and the people speak a different language. And because when we talk loud, that's rank. When everybody goes, ba ba ba, then he's mad. But in the South, everybody goes, ba ba ba, and they're not mad because they always talk that way. When you talk to us and we go, ha ha ha, that's up north. In the South, if you don't go, ha ha ha, you're not a good fella. And you're not jovial and you're not. So when you always see the picture in the southern ports where everybody's smiling, we take it, look at that, it's not solemn. Those schmucks think you see a camera, you smile. So what Belli did, you know, you can really see it with Ruby, you know. But it's like, it sums up this way. If anybody talks that way to me, I can do one. In other words, I'm worried about his safety. Because I know I'm superior to him. Because I'm brighter. Because I know that I talk closer to this way than he does. Anyone who talks that way is the brightest of bright. Anybody talks that way is, well, there's poor people and they don't understand it. If Albert Einstein talked that way, we would have never had a bomb. My name is Albert Einstein. And I got theory here. Get out of here, shit kicker, you. Look here, buddy. I got a theory here. So embarrassing, those people. He keeps coming back with his nonsense.
And one quick gloss for those whose Yiddish skills are challenged. This sketch on small-town America and homosexuals ends with Lenny's reflections on how what is considered perverted changes with place and time. What's normal in Alcatraz will get you busted if they catch you doing it just across the bay in San Francisco. As his last example, he discusses fressing, which he and probably Martha Stewart consider a good thing. How to describe this for people who have little Latin and less Yiddish? Let's say, after a Brentwood hello, the happy gentleman, if he is a gentleman, will inquire, "And may I return the favor?" And the kind lady, if she is a fine, upstanding, patriotic, healthy, normal American girl, will reply, "Be my guest." That's what he's talking about.
Now, what happens is, clubs, well, mostly on the road kind of scene, are like a great recall for me for first-time-outer clubs. Owner will see me on the coast, right? At the Crescendo, there's Paul Newman with some pretty chick. Arlene Dahl with a new wave writer from Algiers. And he sees me really cooking and relating, you know. So he goes at the show, he goes, listen, I got a little club. It's not like here, but you have a lot of fun there. And you'd really do good. There's a lot of hippies in town. Okay, yeah. And you have a lot of Dubol? Oh, no. Not at all. Is it American Legion Post? No. But it's funny you should mention that, the Elks meet there. Oh, no, I can't make it then. Yeah. No, you like it. It's funny, if you need the bread, you make it, you know. And now, here's a weird kind of scene, because you walk out and look at the people and they're saying, I've seen them before, these faces, but I've never been in East Liberty, Pennsylvania, man. But how come I know the faces? And I know why I know the faces. These are the Grey Line tours before they leave. That's where they live, the Grey Line tour people. They're sitting there, right here. You want to dig, is this weird why a show would be held up, the dinner show? The jello's not hard yet. That's a wild reason. Okay. Do the show, and it's a bomb, man. Yeah. Real stare jobs. In disbelief, like. Then it kept, what's that mean? What's that mean? What's that? What's, I don't know what's that mean. What's that mean? What's the schmuck mean? I don't know. Shut up. I'm trying to listen to me. What's that mean? I'll tell you what's that mean. What's that mean? And those are the kind of towns where, like, schmuck doesn't mean schmuck anymore. No, it doesn't have it. It's lost through you. It's like goddamn you don't mean goddamn you anymore. I didn't curse you. I didn't damn you. It's through usage. Damn you has no. So the thing with schmuck. Those people say, hey, you better say schmuck in front of a Jewish person, boy. They'll really get mad, right? Right? In that dopey humor of, hey, go up to Mr. Johnson and say you want a can of schmuck. And the dopey's go, oh, a can of schmuck. And, ah, get it. Don't mean that anymore. All right. Now, first show, complete bomb. My concept of a bomb is if I throw out maybe 100 things to get laughs, if 2 miss out, then it's a bomb. And then you feed it, it gets to be a big hole. Okay, now after the first show, the owner goes, listen, how come you didn't do the stuff like I saw you at the crescendo? Well, I did some of it, man, but really, listen, you know, listen, you know, the religion stuff. You know, you and I know it's a lot of horse. You know, these squares, you know. Okay, now he sees already, it's now into the 5th show, and my name is getting smaller in the ad, and dinner $3.25 is getting bigger, you know, and I think then it ends up that the owner's introducing me, you know. Folks, before I bring our star out, you know what the hell? A joke's a joke, right? And I mean, he kids a lot about religion, you know, and lesbians and dope and politics, but what the hell? Yeah, he was in the service for 3 years, and he gets walkouts. On the introduction, he loses 40 people, you know. So then they go, the monster's coming. So again, this relates to exposure. If I did like obvious, blatant, like faggot humor, like, then they would say, like, how do people in these towns know about faggots? How? Well, because of comedians. I go, who are the transvestite comedians? Milton Berle, heavyweight transvestite humor. Yeah, Berle was the one who schlepped the faggot out of this Kraft Ebbing cellar and put him, give him like, he's humorous to faggot, but don't trust him because I swear I'll kill you. Give him a spritzer there. Yeah. So they're all hip to faggots in these towns, right? But they're not hip to dykes. Huh? Idiomatic for lesbian. How come they don't do any dyke jokes? Maybe the comic of that generation was not hip to butchers, man, but there we are. Because maybe dykes are stalkers, that's why. Lee Mortimer closed a butch bar, pow, balcony. They got the sweet or gown on, and that's it. So consequently, in these towns, lesbians get away with murder. Because the townspeople, hey, Al, how are you? Townspeople are not aware of them. The top comment you'll hear, there's a chick with a real severe Mary Esther hairdo, right? Leather zipper jacket, army shoes. You know. The top comment you'll hear from the residents will be, that Mrs. Anderson, boy, she's a real tomboy. Yeah, She can hit a ball just like a man. I'm hip. What does Mrs. Anderson do? What's her vocation? She's a Girl Scout master. I figure, yeah. Now, mother's born in 1900, Those mothers, Jewish mothers, Italian mothers, are never hip that their sons are faggots. Out and out, screaming faggots, the mothers are never hip. A friend of mine, this is years ago, this guy's such a faggot, he's a truck driver. Now, that's so in and out. That's hairdressing, interior decorating. He's driving trucks in. And he doesn't even bother, like, with no affectation of pastel colors, berets. He wears learner dresses and corrective shoes. Now, he lives with his mother for years. Real Orthodox Jewish woman with a shaitel, the whole bit, right? The mother's never hit. Years and years and years. I didn't see these people now for 20 years. They went to Miami. They got some income property. First in Ocean. Good address. That is really schlock town, First in Ocean. That's where the dog track is. I figured that would really be a way to make Miami cook. You know, that the dog track replaced a rabbit with a couple of old Jewish women, you know. There goes Rifki. Bang! Running in the dog's chasing it. Really good. Yeah. Very bizarre kind of a... Now, he's down there with the mother. Right? Haven't seen him in years. So I'm going to look him up. So I look. He's got his address. He cut his name out of the phone book. It's hippie for him. Ronnie Nadel. He comes to the door. He's got an anime Wong dress on. He's out of it. So he goes, oh, Lily! Just a moment. I'll put something on. What are you going to put on, your schmuck? I know you, man. I talk to my mother. Dig the mother. Label, you won't believe something. I'm going to tell you something about Ronnie now you won't believe. And I go, oh, somebody copped out, man. What's that, Mrs. Nadel? You're not going to believe it. Ronnie still didn't get married. Oh, what a shock that is. How about that? And he ain't got a quarter yet. You know how good night shit he is? Every night he's always bringing home a sightless man ain't got a place to sleep. Oh, wonderful. I let him get shine to the earth. I'm not schlepping. Marines and sailors, he brings them every night. He's so good-hearted. Yeah. They don't appreciate it. They punch him. They steal his rings and his cufflinks. Don't tell me that. I don't hear my... But he loves Halloween. I'm hip. Yeah, puts Kay Francis hats on. Yeah. That's really like a mama's haunts kind of concept. Yeah. Homosexuality. Okay. Abnormal in the classic sense of the word of abnormality. Why? Out of step. Yeah, because they're a minority. Definitely. Yeah. If they're all faggots, then it'd be cool. It would be contemporary. But the fact that there are less faggots than not faggot, but they should really redefine the word homosexual. Yeah, make it more definitive. Because they, homosexual, I'd assume, is anybody who's ever been involved in any homosexual act. Oh, damn, that really, that's a beautiful generalization. Yeah. Because I assume that you're all faggots then. Yeah. Because the old cliche, there's no such thing as being a little pregnant, that's it. Yeah. Because men are carnal. Definitely. You put a guy in the joint for 15 years, he'll shtup anything. Mud. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Guys are haste, that's it. Now, you take this guy out of the joint, then if he relates already looking at guys, tachas is generally a loser. He'll I assume, go back with chicks and say, but in the joint, then he assumes, and yeah, definitely. So then we are sometimes homosexuals. All of us then. Because even if you ever did any prison time, if one time in your life you ever had, I don't care if you're 5 years old, happened last year, a scoutmaster, a gym coach, go, ah, you're nice legs, honey. That's it, man. Yeah. So you really have to, you know, reevaluate that way. Although then again, no, I think that scene always went down, yeah. Because like every chick here is the word pervert, perverse. I assume that every chick here has been involved with a pervert. With semantic, that's a heavy word. Pervert. We have with a pervert, you, Mrs. Knafko. No, I never. Yes, you would. Because that uncle, when you were 11 years old, what nice little apples you got. What is that? What are you kidding with that? Grabbing your knobs when you're 11? Is it a twist, though? The fact that you're genetically related doesn't absolve him. Hey, you're really getting big. Uncle Hyman's always touching me. It's on your mind. It's all you think about. Yeah. Good. A good twisto pervert, your uncle. Yeah. Good grabber, yeah. Now, the beautiful cliches such as, what was that, a good 20 year ago scene? Oh, yeah, that was all the humor. A Frenchman. He's a French lover. Everybody dresses today. Everybody's a leco today. That's the sexual aspect between men and women today. is not involved with plain old shtupo. There's other things about it. Now, so another generation who was like, I wouldn't get, it's a nasty thing. But yeah, it was then, because then Kirkman soap, brown soap, chicks were not kissy with Howard Johnson, 27 flavors of douche aspects. So now it's a kissy, cute thing. It's chic, it's contemporary. But then, anyway, you know what that guy does? He's a master. Amex man. That's what he does to get his women. He's a leko. No kidding. But then when you're bonding, everybody's oppressed. Yeah. But that generation, man, no. But maybe they did. There's a Zugnish kind of thing. Yeah.
Time for one more sketch. Alas, there's no time for Lenny's most famous routine, Christ and Moses. When the two prophets return, walk into St. Patrick's Cathedral during Sunday Mass, and piss off Cardinal Spellman, Bishop Sheen, and the Pope no end. I promise I will play that sketch twice before the cock crows thrice. Yes, that dead rooster in the backyard. And if you believe that, you probably believe in the Tooth Fairy and think Stan Freberg is Jewish. But I promise anyway. Let's end with a sketch where Lenny asks, which movie would you rather your kids watch? Vile, obscene, pornographic smut, or else a great artistic classic, such as Alfred Hitchcock's celebrated Psycho? Speaking of Psycho, I'll say goodbye now. Illa get to my non-carborundum. Thanks for listening. Remember that the bird is the word, and here's Lenny.
Oh, yeah, the stamp out, smut. Okay. The dirty movie for your child to see, the dirty book in the schoolyard, or Psycho? Okay, what goes on in Psycho? We have Tony Perkins, a psychotic misogynist, kills a beautiful woman for no purpose, stabs her, we show method, blood down the drain, and then method of disposal of the body. They really get ponderous with it, wrapping in a shower curtain to the swamps and sump. This is not against the law, and I never hear the postmaster getting, why, that's bad for our kids to see. No, it's cool. Now, what goes on in the dirty movie? The 16-millimeter reduction print that you schlep from large hall to large hall. The dirty movie that the Kefauver Committee destroys and then recreates for private parties. That dirty movie. Right. What are the couple doing in that picture? Any communist propaganda? Anyone getting slapped? Any violence? What are they doing, man? That's that offensive. From an artistic concept, you're trite, no music track, forget it. But opposed to a killing, a blatant deterrent to life, what is that couple doing, man? I could get a judge that forbidden with it, man. What are they doing? So the values are for children to look at. Killing, yes, but stupping, no, man. But if they ever see any stupping, they may do that someday, man. And what'll happen then? Yeah, hey, so your kids, I suppose I'll hear that. Yeah.